Yada, 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 yada. That's about what I got. Now, here's what you're going to get. You're going to get the day after the first presidential debate dissected and thrown in your face on political QRM.
Good morning, or good afternoon, or good evening, depending on when you listen to us. I'm Anne Marie, and the person you just heard is Lou. And yeah, we have a few things to say about last night's debate. Matter of fact, I'm still a little groggy over it because I did stay up late. Of course, my voice is a little bit hoarse because I kept screaming at the TV. what was your take on it?
Well, my take on it is I was very pleased that I didn't start throwing stuff at the team. what was my take on it? I'll be honest with you.
Know.
I was bored to tears.
Really? Okay. I was frustrated.
You're frustrated? Yeah, but I mean, how could you not make... Look.
We knew how it was going to go, though, right? We knew.
Yeah, but I was surprised he held out as long as he did. You could see him almost biting the inside of his cheek and stuff.
Exactly, yes. And did you hear that one time when she started talking about him hating women and derogatory comments and everything? He stood there and said, "You know, Hillary, I could say something really horrible about your family, but I'm not going to."
Yeah, well, actually...
In other words, he did say it. He alluded to it, so
he alluded to it, but, you know, I actually heard him early this morning, and he said that the reason he only alluded to it was he wasn't comfortable saying anything with Chelsea in the room.
That's right. Yeah, he did mention that.
And, you know, you got it. But look, I'm sorry. First of all, that's very presidential.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. You know, I mean, he's putting her in her place. But he's not
right. Second of all, that is a very gentlemanly thing to do. So for people who think he's some sort of, you know, some sort of raving boor,
yeah,
you know, that was a very gentlemanly thing to do. Now, you know, not for nothing. But, you know, the radical feminists out there would say, well, you know, she is, you know, 30 years old or whatever, however old she actually is. I don't even know. You know, and we have equal rights. So if you're going to say something, you can't hide behind Chelsea being in the room. Because I'm sure after listening to her mother, she's heard some nasty stuff before.
That's true.
But no, that was a very gentlemanly and presidential way to handle that.
I'm looking at Drudge here, and my take on it, my initial take, was that Lester Holt let her say all that she wanted to say during her time to speak. When it was Trump's time to speak, he kept interrupting him. Okay, that's what I took last night. Now, Drudge here says that Lester Holt, he interrupted Trump 41 times and Clinton 7.
Okay.
7. Okay, and he asked Trump 6 follow-up questions, did not ask any of Clinton. So I think that somebody obviously got in touch with NBC News and decided that they were going to talk to Lester Holt. Now, this another thing. She's a liar, okay?
Oh, we know that.
And most of what she said last night was a lie.
Yep.
About everything.
Yep.
Honest to God, here she is talking about how great the deal was in Iran, and if they didn't do it, they were going to get weapons. And it's like, excuse me, yeah, well, they have even a better chance of developing that first nuclear weapon. What is wrong with these people? And we give them all this money so they can, and they can get a lot of stuff from China. As a matter of fact, Russia is giving them some things.
Yep.
On how, what are they giving them? Oh, man, it's how you spin the
centrifuges.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. They're getting some from Russia. So it's like, you know, so for her to say that everything is very safe, She's nuts. She's lying.
Well, I could tell she was lying because her lips were moving. You know,
yeah, exactly. Exactly. She was, and I'll be honest with you, she was so drugged up last night. Because at times she would go off on a tangent. And then she'd start getting confused. And then she'd start slowly speaking. And to me, it's like, you know, lady, I don't know if you think you fooled people.
Nope.
But I wasn't fooled. Trump was clearly the one who was being attacked by Lester Holt. And the thing is, she kept bringing up these stupid phrases. What was that one about the racism? Do you know the brain's not working this morning?
No, neither is mine.
After
being up late, and it's earlier than I'm usually.
I know. Jeez.
She was trying to do gotchas without making them zingers, I think is what it was.
Yeah. I agree.
I think that's what she was trying to do. And I don't know if she had the little headset thing in her ear last night and somebody telling her. You know,
her hair was covering her ears.
Yeah, so that's why, you know.
I'm thinking that's why she was speaking very slowly.
I'll tell you, the biggest surprise of the night was the fact that she stood there the entire time.
Yeah.
You know,
but
and,
you can't, not, wait a minute, you know as well as I do. And you know, as far as painkillers and everything else, you get the right combination of drugs, you can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know that as well as I do.
Oh, no, I know that. But I'm not talking about whether she's in any pain. I'm talking about that, you know, her balance issues. And
not
you know.
Just, oh, that too. There are drugs out there that can take care of that for a minimum amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? This is basically what I got out of the whole thing at the end of it. I looked at all of it. And I thought it over, and I read a lot of the stuff, and what I took away from it is that she can't get through these debates now without help from the moderator. From the moderator skewing everything in her favor, letting her speak, letting her get all her ideas out, not challenging her. That's the only way that she can have a chance and look presidential.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, that's something that was within... within Trump's remit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they get, you know, I don't know if they get offered multiple choice on this or they just get told who it's going to be. But I mean, if you disagree with the moderator, which, you know, they have the right to say, no, like a juror,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can reject a juror, or you can reject a moderator. And the fact that they gave it to Holt was something that he had to agree to.
Right.
And with that said, he didn't say no. So, you know, you know, which then again, that tells me he's not afraid of anybody.
Well, true. That's not. Yeah, I would say that. Yeah, but the thing is that no matter who is the moderator, especially in the next two debates, they're still going to be attacking Trump, and their whole mission is to make him look like an idiot, make him look as if he is unfit to use Hillary's words for, you know, to be the president.
Well,
I don't think that. I really don't think that she can get through these debates unless everything is tilted in her favor. She knew the way this debate was going to be run.
I think one of the best moderator jobs I've seen done in a long, long time was Bret Baier.
Mm-hmm. No, I have to agree. Yes, during the primaries, yeah.
Yeah, and... You know, I think having done it during the primaries probably DQs him from doing it in the general. But you know what? Bring on somebody, not even necessarily from Fox.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bring on somebody completely a non-broadcast personality. Bring on a journalist from somewhere. You know, there's enough of them out there. I mean, you could even get one that's not pro-Trump. But sure as heck ain't pro Hillary, like Bill Kristol,
mm-hmm.
you know, or someone like that.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, no, Bill Kristol hates Trump.
That's what I'm saying. Make
all
it
right.
Bill Kristol.
Here's the second one. It's going to be oh my God, Anderson Cooper and Martha Raddatz. That's the second one, and then Chris Wallace will moderate the third one. None of them like Trump at all.
No, but at least Chris Wallace gives them the ability. Well, you get gravitas, yeah, but I mean...
the others don't. The others don't, I don't think.
No. No, I don't think so either. But I think the thing about Chris Wallace is he's going to be able to, in the final debate, give the left the opportunity to complain about the moderator because he is a Fox News contributor.
Yeah, but he's Mike Wallace's son, and a lot of times he's not exactly what you would call fair.
Right.
Okay. I really wish they did have Brett Baer or Neil Cavuto or something like that.
Yeah,
or,
Cavuto.
You know, why can't we have Sean Hannity? Why can't Sean Hannity be on the, you know, I'm sure he would play it down the middle. I am very sure he would play it down the middle.
Well, there's a bunch
because
of them
that's what conservative moderators do.
You want to see somebody who plays it smack down the center line?
Who?
Bill O'Reilly.
That's true. He would not let either one of them. Yeah. Yeah.
They'd tear it up if they said, oh, well, we're going to make, you know, the moderator Bill O'Reilly. They'd tear it up. I mean, they'd say, no, Bill O'Reilly, you know, fine. Look, you can't be number one in cable anything for 19 years.
True.
If you're, you know, look, Bill O'Reilly is not Sean. He's not Rush. He's not, you know, Levin. He's not, you know, Savage or Alex Jones. Mm-hmm. He has, and
it's true. He hits both sides.
You know, and people say, well, you know, Trump's been on O'Reilly 15 times. The invitation has been there for Hillary since
she was,
you know, in the White House.
That's right.
You know what I mean? The invitation.
She doesn't have the guts to go.
She doesn't have the guts to go. Anytime you see somebody come on, you know, whether it's that or whether it's Gowdy or whether it's Chaffetz or whether it's, mm-hmm. the opposition always has the standing invitation. Give us a call and come right in.
The one thing that disappointed me about Trump last night is that he did miss some opportunities, especially when she sat there and said, I don't have the stamina. Well, I was in a, questioning by the, congressional committee for a while.
He should have jumped on that.
She should have, yeah, and said, yeah, and what were you there for?
Right.
I would have said, what were you there for? Oh, yes, Benghazi, in which four Americans died. To me, that's not leadership. You know,
yeah, Americans.
I'm screaming at the TV.
Yeah,
Donald.
Four Americans died in Benghazi. You know Benghazi, which is in where? It's,
Libya.
Yeah, of course. And we didn't lose anybody in Libya, right?
And what did you say? Oh, we saw, whatever that thing she said, we saw, we came, he died, and she laughed. I said, you know, I would have brought that up, too.
Sure.
Really? Really? You want to be president of the United States and go around, and do this? And massacre who else?
What difference at this point does it make?
There you go.
You know, I would have been on that, and I said, we were sitting here watching, and I turned to Debbie, and I said, he missed that one.
Yeah, he did.
He missed that.
You know what? I honestly think, though, that the next one will be better for him because I remember watching Ronald Reagan's first debate against Jimmy Carter, and it was like, ooh, you know.
Yeah, that stung.
Yeah.
Well, boy, did he come back.
Oh, gosh, yeah. So I think Trump will be better, and I think Trump's people right now are sending little notes to Cooper and Raddatz and their networks and saying, listen, you know, this better be done a little bit more fair. Because, yeah, I mean, for him to interrupt Trump as many times as he did, I think is inexcusable. It really is inexcusable. And you could tell that was the thing.
See, now I don't know how many countries Donald's been in, you know, brokering deals and building buildings
and
the other thing. I mean, maybe not 128 countries. And maybe he hasn't brokered, quote unquote, little brushfire war peace treaties. Mm-hmm. But you know what? He's gone to other countries and he's built buildings and put people to work and all this other kind of stuff. You know, and it's how could you sit there and say, oh, you know, it's all about, you know, the top 1% this, the top 1% pay. And what is this fair share thing?
I know.
You know, but I turned to her and said, well, first of all, I've been to, well, I don't know, 12, 15, 18, 105 or 127 countries.
Mm-hmm.
And put people to work and, you know, brokered deals and made deals and all this other kind of stuff. And by the way, as far as 11 hours in front of a congressional committee, I wouldn't put myself in a position to have to be there.
Yeah. No, I agree on that one. See that? Yeah, he did miss. I'm wondering though. I am wondering if the woman card is intimidating him. You don't think so? I hope not.
No,
I hope
because
he
that
lets her
all
have
came
it.
up later on, you know, with the whole, you know, women picking on their weight and picking on their, you know, this. No. He was ready for it.
Yeah.
You know, he got interrupted over it and
Yeah,
talked
he did. I
over
mean, he was
and
trying
stuff,
to. It's
but.
just like, oh my God. You know,
And
it's just like,
a
I don't know.
45-year-old lawsuit?
I know. 40. I mean, you know, is that the best she had? I would have said, is that the best you have 45 years ago?
And
Is
the other
that
one?
the best? Yeah.
The other one he missed? You know which one he
What?
missed? When
What?
she turned around and said, he has declared bankruptcy four times, five
Yeah.
times, whatever it was.
Yeah,
You
four.
know, so what
And
kind
he
of
hasn't.
businessman is that? Well, what about the other 512 businesses that are out there making billions of dollars and
You
are not
know,
bankrupt?
I would have asked her and said, "You've been in the public service for in public service sector for over 30 odd years, 40. How did you get all your wealth?"
On a government job.
There you go.
The only job she's had.
I know that.
You know, on a government job for a few years, she went from dead broke to over 100 mil.
Yep.
Gee, I don't know. Not having a job? Well, hell, I don't have a job. Hand me 100 mil. I'll take it. I'll take it just to prove it won't spoil me.
Yeah, I'm kind of reviewing. Look at this. I'm kind of reviewing right now a an article in New York Post. I'm gonna should probably put it on the site. And it took place. They wrote about a bar in Youngstown, Pennsylvania, and there were a bunch of people that they interviewed. And this is a Youngstown is a town that's heavily Democratic. And there were some small businessmen there, and they say that they're going to be voting for Trump. And also people that who've were Democrat, they're going to be voting for Trump because they said that Hillary did nothing to persuade them.
Well,
So I look upon this as a good sign, you know. Yeah, so it's
I do
ridiculous.
too, and I'll tell you another thing. I was in a discussion on Discus, and I don't even remember which discussion it was right at the moment because you know me, I'm all over the place like flies.
I know. You've got so much going on.
Well, it's easy when you're retired. Anyway, the subject that came up about Maine having a dearth of employees. There's people out there saying, well, it's not the question of jobs, it's a question of employees. And, you know, we have to. You know, and I said, look, I said, the problem is we've got this, you know, 40 years of Democrat rule that insisted that Maine be vacation land, like it says on the license plate.
Right.
You know, and if you're not a tourist or in the tourist trade, you have no business living in Maine. And they've done everything they can. Regulations and taxes in Maine are absolutely prohibitive.
I did not know that.
And, you know,
Maybe that's why a lot of people come to New Hampshire open up small businesses.
well, it's intense up here. And well, you know, sailing ships, there's not much call for anymore. Well, you know what? Because business is, you know, not recovering the way it has supposed to have been, and people aren't working yet, they're not able to afford to go out and buy, you know, a Sunfish or anything bigger. You know, because places like, you know, Maine landmarks like L.L. Bean get, you know, three quarters of their stuff brought over from China. Where's the
Yeah,
jobs there?
I
You
know.
know, these, you know, the boots that they started out making 100 years ago are now made in China. And
Sure.
one of the things that has left Maine in a hurry is shoe manufacturing, which was one of our big things. So they've regulated and taxed us to death to close the paper mills, to close the timber mills,
That's right.
you know, to close the fishing industry down,
Well, you know
you
what?
know, all these things. And I said, I said, A and B, I said, you can't keep bleeding off our youth. The thing is, now they're going to try and pass this question three. And if a kid wants to become a cop when he gets out of high school, he can't because he won't be able to get a gun legally until he's 21.
And
And
that's
there's no
insane.
exclusion for it. So,
That's
you know, so
insane.
our kids keep leaving. You know, what the heck? I went real quick. I went to one site. I just Googled jobs in Maine.
Yeah.
And one of site comes up called Jobs in Maine, right? Go figure. And so I went to it. And I said, no particular skills, just jobs, right?
Right, yeah.
And within 50 miles of my home, right? More than 500 jobs. Okay, 400 of them were in the healthcare fields. Every major health, you know, thing in this area is hiring. Yeah, we do need people. We do need people. But nobody wants to come here. The taxes are horrendous, you know, to get a business. The regulations are hysterical. And what does Hillary want? Hillary wants higher taxes. Hillary wants more regulations. It's going to be more of the same. The only things that are going to grow, the only jobs that are going to be created are in places like the EPA, the ATF, the IRS.
That's true.
You know, not the NSA, not the CIA, not the FBI. No. You know, not ICE, not the Border Patrol, because, hell, they're just going to open that wide up.
They're
going to
open the borders,
Border Patrol.
Yeah.
You'll get all the employees you need. I'm sorry, we are not going to attract a senior cardiovascular surgeon coming across the border in the middle of the night from Mexico.
It's not going to happen. No, it's not. No, it's not. And you know that as well as I do, that the ones coming across the border in Mexico, you know, illegally, or the ones that are here, just, they are unskilled. They can't speak English, obviously. And they're coming here for all the welfare benefits, health care, and everything that they can get from us. And that's what it is. To send money back. Now, wait a minute. Let me just say one thing. You're talking about EPA regulations. I was getting paint at my local paint store the other day. And I said, what's going on? He goes, well, I was talking. And I said, what's going on? He goes, well, the EPA is starting to regulate all these regulations on how we can mix paint and the things we can use in the paint. I was like, oh, great. He goes, yeah. He goes, everything is changing. All the formulas in the paint companies are changing. He says, it's getting really difficult to, you know. And I'm like, see, there you go. And I almost looked at him and said, vote Trump. But I didn't know. I mean, he's a local guy, and I didn't want to.
Don't want to get started. You know, you still got to
antagonize him because antagonize him because he's got to mix paint for me.
Right. Yeah, and you know that. But that's the thing too. You know, you look at something that simple, right? Mm-hmm. You look at something that simple, and you say to yourself, "Gee, I need a gallon of paint."
Mm-hmm.
So you run down to the store, and you either take a chip, or you don't care. Maybe you just want eggshell paint, right?
Right.
Well, you want to put this on your walls. You don't want it to last a weekend. You want it to last, you know, some time.
Right, exactly.
And if it gets, you know, you scratch a chair against it, you want to be able to scrub it off, right?
That's right.
$35?
Mm-mm-mm-mm. Honey, that's cheap.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You walk in and you say, oh, where's the cheap stuff? Here it is. $35?
Yeah. No, if you want to get a decent paint, it's $50 and up a gallon. Believe me, I have spent $65 on a can of paint. I kid you not.
I don't doubt you for a second.
Because of all the blasting regulations.
Take the regulations. Look. Nobody's saying. You know, I saw a thing about the back in the Victorian day, and everything that was green was made with arsenic. I mean, nobody wants you to put arsenic on your walls. Yeah,
exactly.
Nobody wants you to put lead paint on your windowsills for your kid to eat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anybody, you take the regulations away, and the next thing we'll have kids running around brain dead because they eat the paint.
Well, I don't know. We already have a generation that's brain dead, so how the heck did they get that way?
We can't even blame it on lead paint, right?
I know, you can't.
Oh, my God. But that's it. You take these stupid, stupid regulations. Nobody wants to poison people with paint.
I know.
And, you know, not for nothing, but Republicans buy paint, too, you know.
Exactly. I know. It's like the Democrats keep thinking that we're all in these, you know, these little domes, invisible domes, and we're not affected by, you know, dirty air, dirty water. You know, what are you, idiots? Jeez, come on, use your brain. But the thing is, of course, Republicans don't say that. We're not in a hermetically sealed,
I say it all the time.
Jeez.
I say it all the time. Hey, I don't want air dirty.
Exactly.
I breathe.
Exactly.
You know, I don't want water dirty. I fish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want, you know, the land all cluttered up with garbage and crap and stuff like that. Do I get annoyed at that. I mean, I don't want the woods all, you know, I hunt.
Exactly, yes.
You know, so when it comes right down to, look, you definitely... Yeah. We don't want paint to be poisonous. We don't want, we don't want to go back to the days when we had pills that were part mercury and part arsenic and part cadmium, and it was supposed to cure the common cold. We don't want to go back to that. Nobody does.
No.
You know, we do not want to roll. Look, you want to talk about, oh, you just want to roll the old people off a cliff on their wheelchair. Hey, you want to talk about somebody who wants to roll them off the cliff in a wheelchair. What about the death panels in Obamacare?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the fact that they, you know, they just stop treating people the way they should be treated and just give them a pill. I mean, come on.
You know, how old are you, Mrs. Linguini? 96 years old. Hey, Harry, back up the ice slow.
There you go.
You know.
No, I agree. The Democrats, seriously, don't give a damn about life.
No, they don't. And that's the thing. No. You know, people get so caught up in this, you know, and they blame the right for rhetoric. But boy, nobody masters rhetoric like the left.
No, you know, they're using communist tactics.
It's all Alinsky.
Word speak. They're using the word speak. Double talk.
You know, but the thing is that, you know, they take this stuff. Why? How can they stand there, right, and go for laws? Because, you know, we're a nation of laws, and they believe that. They believe we're a nation of laws, as long as they're the laws they want.
I was just going to correct you and say, wait a minute. Yeah.
But, you know, look, they push through these laws, and it's a great idea to me. They push through these laws where if you kill a pregnant woman and the baby dies, it's a double homicide.
I agree with that.
But if the woman doesn't die, and if the woman doesn't get shot, she can walk into Planned Parenthood at 15 years old and get the baby killed.
I know. Now, and that's another thing. Wait a minute. Planned Parenthood, that's a private organization, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then why are we giving money to it? Why are taxpayers giving money to it?
Well, now,
why are we funding it? Why?
Here's another one of your Democrat dichotomies. All right? Uh-huh. They complain about quote-unquote corporate welfare, but we give money to Planned Parenthood.
There you go. That's corporate welfare right there.
Don't you think?
Yes, my God. But you see, my thing is with Planned Parenthood, I know we kind of got off the rail here, but in a way, no. We're just trying to point out the way the Democratic Party twist things and actually what they really stand for and what Donald Trump really has to recognize in the next debate. But Planned Parenthood, if we have to give money to them, I should, as a taxpayer, have a say in that because it's my money.
That's your
money. And like, so I should have a say in the fact that if Planned Parenthood wants the money, they should do more women's health instead of abortions. I don't believe there's mammograms at Planned Parenthood. There are no.
There is.
Now there is.
Yeah.
Now there is.
Oh, and they do.
They didn't used to be.
No, they didn't. But now they do. And
because of the pressure.
Sure, the plain English issue is the fact that it is corporate welfare, and I think that if they want a part of it, you know how they have that thing on the form. Do you want to donate a dollar to the Clean Election Fund or whatever?
Yeah.
Put a check off. You know, do you want to donate a dollar to the National Wildlife Fund? Yeah, okay. You know, do you want to
I like that idea.
You know, yeah, okay. Excuse me. Because there's a direct vox populi say in it.
That's right. I agree. Yeah, no, that's an excellent suggestion.
You know, sell T-shirts, you know, Planned Parenthood. You know, what the heck? I mean, you know, everybody else in America, when they need to make a little some money or something, and they sell their T-shirts.
Well, wait a minute. I mean, they have all of Hollywood that support them.
I know.
God's sake, get all your money from Hollywood. I mean, you know how many liberal... I mean, come on. You should be an arm of the Clinton Foundation, for God's sake. Yeah. You should be part of the Clinton Foundation, though. They should be part of the Clinton Foundation. Clinton Foundation should support them. I mean...
Well, yeah, that's it. Now, wait. Now, we were talking the other day. We were talking about that commercial with all the Hollywood stars, quote-unquote, that I didn't recognize.
Yeah, I know. But go ahead.
But, I mean, every single one of them probably, even though I don't know who the hell they are, every single one of those is quote-unquote part of the 1%, aren't they?
Of course they are. Of course they are. Yeah.
You know, and now you talk about things like this. DiCaprio's going to fly his jet down into Washington, Reagan National, so he can go have a meeting about climate change with Obama before he leaves office. You know, get them to support it. Are they going to, if she were to get in... Is she going to make sure that they pay their fair share, or is there going to be some sort of a loophole?
Well, I tweeted last night. She keeps talking about people paying their fair share, and she's going to raise the taxes on the, you know, the 1% or whatever the people. Well, is she going to pay it? Again, is she and her husband going to pay?
She's worth $100 million, right?
Exactly. Or are they going to find all the loopholes that they can? Or you have to look at it this way. She is probably, if she gets in, God forbid, there's going to be a lot of God forbids over the next month
or two.
And every time we talk about her, or are they going to word the law so they and all the people like them get out of it, and the burden falls upon us.
Yep.
And those of us who maybe happen to, you know, make a little bit more money, or small businessmen, you know, because that's one of the last things she wants is small business. Seriously.
Well, she said last night, well, you know, small business is what drives everything. But
you can't regulate, blah, blah.
Exactly. That's how I opened up the show. Yada, 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 yada. Because as Trump said in the debate, yep, typical career politician. It's talk, talk, talk. Never happens. Nothing gets done. You know, see it in 4 years. You know, what he said about the African and Latino community.
That's right.
See you in, you know, thanks for your vote. See you in 4 years.
That's right.
You know, and I saw, believe it or not, on the Rubin report, and Rubin is not a conservative. He self-identifies as a liberal. Mm-hmm. And he had one of my heroes on the other day, Larry Elder. Mm-hmm. And Larry Elder said, I'm not African American. I'm American.
Right.
And even Rubin said, well, you know what? I did have a guest on a year or so ago who was, you know, I'm not African American. Well, you're not? No, my family's from Jamaica.
Right.
You know? So, the old guy, Morgan Freeman.
Okay.
How do you end racism? Stop talking about it.
Good point. Very good point. Exactly.
And, you know, they're out there and they're pimping the vote, you know, like pimp my ride, you know, pimp the vote.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And what do you got to lose? Because they're only going to come back in 4 years and ask for your vote again. Until then, you're not going to hear from them, see them. Even Louis Farrakhan said, President Obama, you're from this town. I'm from this town. I'm out there among these people. Donald Trump is out here among these people, and you haven't been here in 8 years.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, he was in Chicago when they swore in his paisan there, his bondsman, to be mayor. You know, but other than that...
a lousy job.
Yeah, you know, of course he has. You know. I mean, this is it. See you in 4 years, you know.
Yeah. Hillary just last night, you know, I'm listening to her, and she basically just repeated all the same things over and over again that they bring out about small business and, you know, oh, regulations this, and we have to do this. And she had really no concrete ideas. Donald Trump, he's a businessman. See, that's the thing. And he made that distinction between...
Many times.
Yes. You know, he is a businessman. He understands things. I mean, she is a politician, and that's it. He knows what it takes to run a business. He knows the executive part of it. As far as a president is concerned, and when she started talking about foreign policy, and you know, we need a person who's going to be able to deal with
nuclear,
all these people.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like nuclear, and I'm like, come on, you know, stop blaming Russia. She blamed Russia. She did. She blamed Russia. Oh my God, you know what? No.
Oh, we still haven't found the 400-pound hacker yet either.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm sure they're out there.
But he said it several times. I know how to win.
Yes.
And you know, that's what it is. And he knows how to build a board of directors.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows how to listen to it. Yes, he's a talk about, you know, being an executive. Well, president is the executive branch. He is chief executive.
That's right.
So you know, that's perfect. He listens to his and we've heard it not just from his kids, but we've heard it on some of the talk shows from some of the other people in his organization saying, you know, no, he doesn't, you know, rule by fiat. That's what he pays us a lot of money to do.
Yep.
You know, so he's going to surround himself with the absolute finest people he can for every position. And of course, we know who some of them are, some of them we'd like to see.
Yes.
But I mean, he's going to be the executive officer.
And Donald Trump is the type of guy that he's not going to put people in those positions that are going to make him look bad. He's not going to do it.
Of course not. Of course not.
And I'm glad at that.
Oh, I'm tickled pink. But, you know, and not the same color as the ballot. You know, I think that he will surround himself with the right people. He will make decisions, foreign policy, domestic policy, and otherwise policy, based on the input as it's put before him.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And last night we saw it go all the way back again. Oh, blame Bush.
Yeah, I know. What is it with this woman? She, you know, it's like blame Bush for this. Oh, we came out of a horrible. You know. Oh, man. You know, she forgets that the Democrats took Congress in 2000. Was it 5, 6?
Six.
And it's like, you know, everything went downhill after that.
Well, so the one glaring deficiency with that whole premise. Mm-hmm. Was the whole Syria vacuum.
Yes.
And he missed that one, too.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Oh, well, you know, that was that timeline was created by George Bush when George Bush was president. Well, when Obama's president, he could change the timeline.
That's right.
You know, yeah, I mean, the only reason to not change the timeline was so you'd still be able to blame George Bush 4 years later.
Yep.
Yeah, you know,
Obama wasn't executive material. He's a community organizer.
But that's it. And I'll tell you another thing. I don't care what drug she was on, if any. Mm-hmm. I don't care what she was leaning on or not. Mm-hmm. I don't care if she had electric pads in her shoes. I don't care what happened. Mm-hmm. And I don't care how Lester Holt treated. Holt could have treated Trump with kid gloves last night and hammered at Hillary while she was busy eating a kitten at that podium.
Yeah.
And she wouldn't have lost a single vote.
Yeah, I know.
She may not have gained any, but she wouldn't have lost any.
I don't know. I'm looking at polls and stuff, and a lot of people are saying that, you know, at least Trump came out with ideas. She just kept, you know, spewing
verbally.
The same stuff. Yeah.
Having her little neurological moments, but out of her mouth instead of her eyes or her knees.
Yeah. Second debate. What do you want to see in the second debate?
Oh, did they list an itinerary yet?
Let me see.
Because I haven't had a chance to check.
Moderate. Well, okay. First thing, oh gosh. It's going to be a town hall style event. But you know what? Donald Trump does very well in town halls.
Very, very well in town halls.
Yes, because he can. He relates to people.
It doesn't matter if it's 16 people or 6,300.
I do not know. I have to look it up. Second debate.
Well, I'll tell you one of the things that
I'll bet you. I think it's foreign policy, but I'm not too sure.
Good. I'll tell you something about foreign policy because they keep hammering on him with his relationship with Putin, right?
Oh God, you know.
First of all, she's got a tighter relationship with Putin than he does. Second of all, keep your enemies closer. Mm-hmm. Keep your friends close. But keep your enemies closer.
Yeah.
That's how it's played.
But you see, the thing is, what you have to look at again, and I have to bring this up. You know, she accuses Donald Trump of, oh, well, you think Putin's a great guy and stuff like that. But no. He respects him because he's a leader.
Right.
And to me, Hillary's going to walk all over Hillary. He already has, basically. He has no respect on that issue.
Yeah.
He's not going to, believe me, she's not going to do well with Putin at all. You are finding as Donald Trump said last night, you are finding Russia, and it's true what he said, they are increasing their nuclear weapon capability. They are making new fighter bombers. that they are, the military is really coming back, and that scares the living daylights out of me. They are back to TU-95 flights over the polar cap and coming into Alaska. They used to do that a lot in the 1980s. We were always getting those guys. They did have a TU-1. Was it TU-124? I can't remember. 145? I can't remember. But it's the fighter bomber. God, brain dead. Sorry. It's a fighter bomber. And the British chased that one away and had to go intercept that one. That's normal, too. But this stuff is happening more and more and more.
Well, you know, he mentioned the fact that we're still using the aging B-52. Mm-hmm. That your grandfather could have piloted.
Which is true. That damn thing, you know, there are different versions, but they do need to update it. But one thing I did notice, and the TU-95, the Russian bomber, it's propeller.
Yes, that's why I said it's a perfect aircraft for that.
Yeah, it's propeller.
And, you know, they flew the one over the aircraft carrier, the one with, instead of the standard Russian insignia, had the middle finger painted on the bottom as it flashed the tower. Mm-hmm. You know, these things, and as far as that's concerned, the B-52 is a very, very worthy aircraft. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong, I have maximum respect for it.
Right.
It's a worthy aircraft. It's a venerable aircraft. Guys who fly it.
Yep.
You know, think it is marvelous. I you know, me in aviation, you know, it's mm-hmm. it's a wonderful, venerable, able aircraft but what are we going to do? We've got mm-hmm. the F-35 program, which is what, $1 trillion over budget
and five years
behind schedule or some such
mm-hmm.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I haven't seen stuff like that happen since the Soviet Union. You know, I mean, rubber stamping stuff.
Well, the way they used to do things in the Soviet Union is just like, well, actually, if you take a look at the Soviet Union and you take a look at how they do their planes, they get a basic design and they very rarely change it.
Yeah, that's true.
They don't.
They're also built to be disposable.
They are.
They're rugged.
They are rugged.
And they're
but
not
they're very
pretty.
Simplistic.
Yes, very simplistic.
You know, they are, and basically what they have is they have different versions that just do something. You know, they're not multitask in many cases, it's like okay, so you have this tank and it'll do this much, but don't expect it to do other things. But if
right.
it works, fine.
Right.
You know, it's a design that they live with.
And they make them sturdy, and they make them ugly because they make them sturdy. I mean, they don't use flush rivets and all this other stuff. Anybody that's ever seen one up close in person, I'll tell you, ugly is sin.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but they fly well. They don't outperform ours in general, as a general rule, but they do fly and fly very well.
Yes.
And they have the right aircraft for the job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we insist on making these Swiss Army knives. Which don't work.
Don't even get me started. I will tell you this, and I'll tell you why. This is one of the reasons. And my husband works for a defense contractor. I am not going to mention the name.
Mm-hmm.
But defense contractors right now throughout the whole country are under the gun, and they have them running around without heads so they can accomplish the security mission.
The security.
Okay?
Yep.
Yeah. But as far as getting the contract done, they're like all behind.
Oh,
they're
of course
behind they are. Because of all this stupid crap that they have to do.
And there's layoffs.
And right now, the defense industry is going nuts. And they're not producing what they should be producing.
Yep.
They are just sitting there and they're running around like chickens without heads because of all the security requirements that need to be, because they just keep piling more and more on.
Oh, well, that's more. True. But my brother...
No, they do. It's bad. No, it's just ridiculous. It's
my
ridiculous.
Brother-in-law works for the civilian half of a company that does have government contracts on the other end of the building. Mm-hmm. And he, of course, has to go, because it's in the same building, he has to go through all the, you know, and I talked to him not that long ago, and, you know, because there were layoffs. Mm-hmm. And he said, oh, no, I don't have to worry about it. What do you mean you don't have to worry about it? He said, well, that's all on the military side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The civilian side, we're clean. You know, we're all...
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I mean, they're cutting the military. And I don't know if you saw that article a few weeks ago. The Air Force is basically kind of scrambling for parts.
Sort of the Marines.
Graveyard. Yeah. Yep. And
Sort of Marines.
That's not good. That is not good. And you know as well as I do that if Hillary gets in, she is going to decimate the military even more. To Democrats, the military is a social... organization that is used for social experimentation.
Yes, yes.
You know,
yes,
to shove any stupid thing in there, you know.
Well, let me just go back to the B-52 for just a moment, because this
sure.
goes right back to a couple of two or three other issues that were discussed last night when he brought up the B-52. And I can tell you one thing I know about the B-52 is its bomb carrying capacity. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about the one that carries the Moab. I'm not talking about the one that carries the fancy schmancy, you know, $4 million a piece to kill four guys,
right?
You know, things, you know, $1 million a piece. The head of the snake cost us, and the head of the snake grows back the next morning. We got to get their people. We got to take out their leaders. Yeah, well, you know what? For every leader we take out, there's 50 guys waiting to take the job. Mm-hmm. So here's what I say, and I've said it before: you take an old B-52, not a brand new one. What are they up to? The B-52. B-52H or I don't remember.
Something
but anyway,
like
take an old B-52B, mm-hmm. right, from the 50s, load it up
right.
with all the GI surplus, you know, dumbass bombs, not smart bombs, not reasonably mm-hmm. intelligent bombs, you know, dumb bombs. Conventional weaponry. Weapons. And you sit there and you get a forward air controller who says, oh, look, a convoy of ISIS dudes in them, you know, pretty beige trucks with those mm-hmm. pretty black flags. Hmm.
Right.
Must be 100 of them. Boom, 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 boom.
There you go. There you go.
Couple of tons worth of dumb old bombs. All of a sudden, it gets to be less and less a good idea to go down the middle of the street with your black flags and your beige trucks.
Well, you know, also, the thing is that the Obama administration was reluctant to bomb the oil convoys because of the, you know, they didn't want to...
The environmental impact.
No, environment. Not only environmental impact, but because of the, excuse me, civilians that are driving these trucks. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I don't care if they're civilians. If they're driving these trucks for ISIS, then they're involved.
Rule number one. There are no friendlies in a combat zone.
I know that as well as you do. Yes.
Rule
you know.
Number two. If you encounter friendlies in a combat zone, refer to rule number one.
Number one. Yes. It's just, it's ridiculous. I know, and probably there's going to be people out there going, oh, how could they say that? Because there are people out there that don't give a damn about you, and they would kill you as soon as look at you.
And if they say the people that are there that are civilians are there under duress because if they try and leave, if they try and run, they'll get killed. Well, do you know something? If that's the case and they're going to die anyway,
sorry,
folks.
Let's make it quick.
Let's make it quick.
Hillary would cut our capability to even do that.
Any people that would use civilians as quote unquote human shields,
mm-hmm.
whether it's ISIS in Syria and Iraq, whether it's Hamas, whether it's Hezbollah, whether it's Boko Haram, anybody that would use human shields is a bad guy.
Exactly.
A really bad guy. A despicable guy. More despicable than I am.
And you're pretty despicable.
That's right. So you've got to go a ways down that road.
Yeah.
You know, several exits past me these people are. If they're the kind of people that would use human shields, they got to go.
Exactly. And you know, there's no talking to them.
No.
No dialogue. There's no such a thing. You don't use the word dialogue with them. I'm sorry.
We're going to increase our airstrikes, and this, but we're not going to put any boots on the ground. They're over there going, yay!
I know. That's right. Just let them know what our tactics are.
Oh, Donald, you don't have a plan.
I do. I'm just not going to talk about it. Right. Let them guess.
You said, well, go to her website. And, you know, ISIS can go to her website and see what the plan is.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, seriously, there's you know, military secrets. There's, you know, it's just like, oh, man. You know, somebody really should throw a copy of Sun Tzu at her, the Art of War.
Right. You know, but like I said, Amory, like I said, she could have been standing there answering the questions with her mouth full of live kitten.
Poopity-tots. Okay, I'm sorry.
And, you know, and she didn't lose a single vote.
No, I don't think she gained any.
Oh, I don't think she gained any, but she didn't
lose a single vote. I think a lot of this was geared a lot toward, like I read that article, the undecideds, you know, or people like Democrats who just didn't want. I think Donald Trump actually gained some votes last night.
Yeah, I think so. And I think his numbers are growing in the African American community. I think his numbers are growing in the
Hispanic
community.
And
I'll tell you another place. I'll tell you another place his numbers are growing.
Where?
Because I've seen it online. Mm-hmm. I saw somebody I know fairly well posted a pink and blue flag, and it said transgender for Trump.
Oh, good. I mean, you know. People got to understand that Hillary is just going to talk, and they're going to make you feel good, and nothing's going to get done. And then before you know it, another gay nightclub, another shoot up. Oh, gee, too bad.
They need They need jobs. Well, he had a job.
Everybody had a job, Lou. Everybody had a job.
No, I meant the shooter in Orlando.
Yeah, I know, but all of them basically had jobs. Everybody that's done this stuff.
And the continuum of, well, we've got to find a program. You know, here's a program. Go into the mosques and take their arms lockers out. You know, go into the mosques and you want to take out the leaders, the heads of the snake, take them out of the mosques.
Yeah.
You can't do that. Yes, I can. Oh, salud. You know, I'm sorry, but as far as I'm concerned, if I thought that every time I got to go to the doctor, right?
Mm-hmm.
I go up the one road and there's a Jehovah's Witness hall.
Mm-hmm.
Kingdom hall there.
Right.
No, I never see anybody there. You know, because I don't know what time of day or what day of the week or month or whatever it is they meet. And I don't care.
Saturday, right.
I don't know. Well, whatever. Well, I wouldn't be going to the doctor on Saturday, so.
No, it's Friday. If
I saw these guys, you know, going in and out of their, you know, truck and into the building, carrying, you know, GIOD green boxes about 4 or 5 feet long and stuff like that, do you have any idea how quickly I'd be on the phone?
Sure.
Oh, mm-hmm. You can't do that. You know, it's religion. No. Go get them out of there.
Yeah.
I sit there and wait. And if they're not taking them out, I'll wait. And the cops come and say, there, those guys right there, that truck right there. They're carrying these big green boxes with rope handles and carrying them in. You know, go get them. You know, and that's that.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't care if the sign on the thing said, you know, El Allah or Temple B'nai or... You know, St. Mary, St. Rita Marino, you know, Our Lady of Perpetual Motion, any of that stuff. I wouldn't care. Uh-huh. If I see people going in and out of a building carrying these crates that look like they may just be containing, you know, M4 rifles or, you know, M206, you know, or what have you, I'm going to call. If I saw something, I'd say something. But nobody wants to, don't think I'm politically incorrect. They'll think I'm not tolerant or sensitive.
You know, I have gone past that. One, I know I'm not racist. Two, am I intolerant? Yeah, I'm intolerant of seeing people get killed. I don't want to see that any longer. You want to say I'm intolerant? That's fine. But you know what? Maybe my phone call, if I see something suspicious, is going to save your life or the lives of some of your family.
Right.
So don't give me this crap.
Right. That's the thing. I mean, you know, if that's the case, then I'm intolerant. But I'll tell you one thing. Here's one thing, and it's my take on it. I feel so angry about these things happening. I feel embarrassed that these things are happening. Because you said the immigrants that come across the border don't speak English. The ones from the Arab nations do.
Good point.
And this stuff is happening, and I'm embarrassed that it's happening. But it does. There is one thing it does do. For the most part, I can't swear to this, but for the most part, all those poor families who lost people, either in Orlando or Purdue or Minnesota or wherever, they ain't behind Hillary no more.
Well,
but they always say a liberal.
You sure?
I don't know. The old adage was a liberal is a conservative that hasn't been mugged yet.
Yeah.
You know, well, and you know, that's that.
I'm wondering how many of the people whose family were affected by all these killings, especially ones in Orlando, are starting to turn and go, wait a minute, you know, is the Democratic Party really on my side, or are they just allowing me and my family to become, target practice?
Well, I don't know.
They don't understand. I think they are. You
look at Hillary at that town hall or whatever, or the primaries or whatever it was, and the father of the Orlando shooter was sitting behind her.
That's true. I mean, that to me says volumes. And, you know, the gay community has to take a look at that. And, you know, he was so close to her that you know as well as I do that he had to be vetted.
Yep.
So she knew he was there. And so she was what, making a statement to all the terrorists on your side? I do not know. They denied it. But, you know, they can deny all they want. For him to be that close to her, it had to be an invitation because he would have to be vetted. And to me, that said, hi, I'm Hillary, and I'm a friend of the terrorists.
Right. Exactly. We have to be tolerant. You know, man didn't do anything to us. No, but he unleashed his kid on us. And now this other fellow from the other day, I called the FBI 2 years ago on my son.
That's baloney. You know what? That's baloney. I do not. Let me tell you something. There's two parts to that. One, I don't believe him. Two, if the FBI did investigate him, I will bet you two to one that Department of Homeland Security probably told the FBI to leave it alone. They probably called them off, even if they found something on it.
Well, didn't the Orlando shooter, wasn't he investigated by the Bureau like three times or twice or something?
Yep. Yeah, well, you know damn well that somebody pulled them off and said, leave it alone.
Yep.
You know that as well as I do. They had to. I mean, the FBI. I'll be honest with you. The FBI, I laugh at. I really do.
And this the other day with the guy in Washington State.
Oh, jeez.
And, he looks Latino. He doesn't look Latino.
He didn't look like. I took one look at the grainy photograph, and I said, yep. "He's not Hispanic. He's not Latino. He's Middle Eastern."
Right away, I opened up that picture, and I looked at it, and I said, "Okay, yeah, Middle Eastern." You know, just that fast. And then it turned around and find out that some of the materials they took out of his house had pans to the leader of ISIS and. He was. And
I think
one guy
he even
was mad
wrote something on Facebook, didn't he?
Yeah, he was mad. One of the guys was. I don't know if it was that or Minnesota. That said, what was he angry about? He was angry about having taken out some ISIS leader who was not even a leader. He was like some minor factional leader.
Oh, for God's sake.
You know, some leader of an underling branch or something, and he was annoyed that we killed him and. You know, stuff like that. What, you know, come on. How many more? Did you ever see that graphic with, you know, Arab man, Muslim, where it says, you know, everything from back in 1975?
Terror attacks.
Right?
Exactly.
How many more are we going to have to add to that column before people turn around and go, hey, you know something? I see a pattern here.
Yeah.
I see a pattern here.
I know.
And, you know, it. I'm sorry, you've said it 1,000 times. Islam is not a race.
No.
Muslim is not a race.
Nope.
I am not racist for the fact that I think, close the door. Okay, we're closing the door, you know, the barn door after the cow gets out.
That's true.
But at least it's only one cow, not the herd.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that on those points, if there were people sitting on the fence, especially people whose lives have been directly affected by some of this stuff, mm-hmm. they're not on the fence anymore.
Yeah. I agree. Nope. They can't afford to be. Mm-hmm. I just wish, you know, Donald Trump would have stopped drinking water last night.
Yeah, they were bringing up the fact that he was drinking water. They were bringing up the fact that he was sniffling. You know,
yeah.
Look, not for nothing, but if he's got a cold and he's still on with it.
He said he didn't on Fox and Friends this morning. But what I'm wondering is if they screwed around with his mic. Can they do that?
Yeah. Can they? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Is it possible?
Oh, I can tell you all about microphones and public address.
That's what I'm asking you. Yeah. That's why I'm asking you, Lou.
Yeah. There's easy
that?
Ways. Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. You just make one.
So everything
where the microphone
is,
plug in, you loosen one wire a little bit.
Is amplified a little bit more? Can they? Can
oh,
they
yeah,
do
sure.
that? Yeah.
They all go separate jacks. It's not like it's one button. You know, you got
there
all
you
the.
Go.
Yeah, I mean, your mixing boards have dozens and dozens of dials and however many microphones and, mm-hmm. you know, speakers and all this other stuff. It all goes out, and they could do it at the microphone. They could do it in any patch cable. They could
there
do it at the back or the back of the mixing board. They could do it at the front mm-hmm. of the mixing board. They could
there
do it
go.
At the amplifier. They could do it in
yeah.
the amplifier, out the amplifier, at the speakers. There's dozens of places you could make that kind of a problem. As a matter of fact, it's simple enough. If the microphones are wired to the podium, but the odds are pretty good that the podiums were wireless.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, because I've seen these podiums.
Right.
Actually designed one. If they're wireless, they're not going to be on the same frequency, or you'd get crosstalk.
Ah.
So you just take a modify a cordless phone from your house to be on the same frequency as the microphone, and just keep clicking the button.
Oh, okay. So you really can screw around with it.
Yeah, you can do this easy.
See, that's because I'm wondering, you know, because. It seemed like he wasn't sniffling. It was like, you know, he was taking a breath. And to me, that was like, wait a minute. You know, you don't hear that on Hillary's side. You don't, you know? You didn't hear any of that stuff. I just...
And somebody said, well, Hillary didn't even take a sip of water. Yes, she did. I saw her sip that water 2-3 times anyway from it, you know, depending on, you know, I mean, they say, oh, there's only one camera. No, there's more than one camera. You can't split screen one camera. You know, you've got to have more than one.
That's true.
You know, so I think it is very, very pertinent that her hair was pulled down in front of her ears.
Yeah. The fact that there was sometimes she was speaking very slowly. And to me, it was like, you know, somebody was speaking in her ear. I'm sorry. I don't trust her on anything.
And I bet you they seizure tested her the second before she went on.
Yeah.
Grip tested her. Yep.
Yep.
That woman's in everything. Line for a stroke.
I think so.
I mean, God forbid, you know, but...
By the way, I was watching the end, and, you know, she and Bill are shaking hands with people and stuff like that. And then she had to go up one step, and Bill grabbed her
mm-hmm.
and helped her up. I noticed that. So,
well, she had already been standing 90 minutes. She was tired.
I don't care.
And then somebody told me, what was it on the feed? Was it on Twitter? Or was it on Facebook? Was it on, I don't remember. Something about the fact that when it was over,
mm-hmm.
you know, and Trump went down and talked to his family and they all went backstage. Trump walked around all over backstage, shaking hands and talking to people.
He did.
And, you know, and mm-hmm. it didn't matter if it was the camera guy or the mic guy or the you know, boom mic
guy. But
that's
the way he is. That is the way he is.
You know, and Hillary, you know, left the building.
Yep.
You know, so what the heck? You know, I think if I was back there, even if I was on Hillary's side and, you know, she goes scooting out, but Donald Trump walks up to me and shakes my hand and says, hey, how you doing? You know, things going good for you, your family? you know, I'm going to be, wait, this guy actually cares enough to say something to me?
That's true.
And I don't even like the guy, but he cares enough to come over and talk to me? And the circle around her wouldn't let me within 15 feet of her, but this guy comes over and shakes my hand?
That's right.
You know, that's the old-fashioned kissing babies thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's like just a simple handshake, you know? I mean, he's not afraid. He doesn't think that he's going to get, I got to use an old word here, cooties from anybody if he shakes their hand. And he knows how to just be civil and cordial. He just knows. Hillary does not have that capability.
Nope. She doesn't
She's narcissistic. Narcissistic. She is, ill-mannered, I think. And she doesn't know how to do.
I've heard people say, oh, well, you don't know her. She's actually very warm. Gee, you couldn't tell from the book that Secret Service guy issued, could you?
Oh, gosh. You know, there were a bunch of ex-Secret Service who have come out and said how nasty she is.
And I got, I'll tell you something, the Secret Service guys, they got asked if they would like to be on protection detail for her. And it's tough. It's a tough one. Nobody would mind being, you know, protection detail for Trump. Nobody minded being protection detail for Reagan or Nancy Reagan. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody minded being protection detail for Rosalynn Carter. But getting protection details for Hillary and getting protection details for Michelle Obama is work.
Oh, my God. Because those two don't respect the Secret Service. Yeah. And they treat them like garbage.
Yep, and men and women get assigned because nobody will volunteer for the gig.
Oh, my God.
It's
more dangerous for her to be sitting with her finger on the nuclear button. It really is.
Into a spasm, and the next thing you know, it's World War IX.
Now, you know as well as I do that the procedure's a little bit more.
I understand.
Yeah, we're saying that as a joke, guys. But she's a big risk. You know that as well as I do. And
I think Donald acquitted himself reasonably. The polls all say he did very well, but the media is saying it all went to Hillary.
I know. Of course they were going to say that. Of course. But you know what? When it came down to issues like business, again, she just threw out those same statements. And he actually said, this is what I want to do. This is what needs to be done. We've got to bring these jobs back. We have to cut the corporate tax rate. And she's just going on and on and spewing the Democrat lines.
Was it trumped up, trickle down?
Oh, my God.
And, you know,
I mean,
something
she made herself.
You know, when it was tried under Reagan, let me tell you something. When I was
Reagan
was elected, and I did vote for Ronald Reagan when he was elected, right, the trickle down economics had the exact effect he said it would. It's going to hurt.
It worked, though.
But within 6 months, it worked great.
It worked. Let me tell you something. My mother at the time was working for this small embroidery company, okay, down in New Jersey, in North Bergen, and don't mention the name though, I don't even know, but they used to do a lot of things, you know, cutting, you know, some stuff had to be cut by hand and stuff like this, and let me tell you something, in the 80s, that company, that small company was doing so well that the owners supplied health insurance for the workers.
Yeah.
And my mother had a good health insurance policy, which, you know, nobody expected. But they were able to do that because of Ronald Reagan's policies. You know, when they say trickle down, well, yeah, damn it. I would love some of that stuff to come to me.
Well, exactly. That's the point I was trying to, you know, the 80s. I'll give you a more graphic example than that, because I did get a job finally that, I never was out of work, but I had to go from job to job, and I ended up finally, within 6 or 8 months, I ended up with a very, very good job.
Okay.
But here's how you can tell whether or not trickle-down economics worked.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I'm listening.
We were still in New Jersey, you were, I was, you know, et cetera, in, say, 1981, right?
All right.
we're a state of malls down there. You know, Maine's got two or three or something. There were two or three on every street corner in New Jersey, right? One of the things I could tell you is you went from having Macy's, Bambergers, JCPenney, EJ Corvette, this, that, Sears, you know, Corvette. With a couple of food stands and this and that. By the time we got to the middle 80s, here's one thing that'll tell you it's going crazy economically. The San Francisco Music Box Company. They had music boxes and moving music boxes and this and that and the other. Some of them were hundreds and hundreds of dollars, and they were making money hand over fist. The Bombay Company. Wicks and Sticks. Wicks and Sticks sold candles. Not Yankee Candle Company. Plinkett decorative candles. They were making money hand over fist.
That's true. People have more disposable income. They could afford to buy these things.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, and Wicks and Sticks, they no longer exist, do they? I don't think they do.
Neither
does the Bombay Company.
Nope. Well, no, Bombay Company still exists, but only online.
Oh, do they really? Okay. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Like Design Toscano, they closed up all their stores now, I think, or for the most part.
Now, because they can't afford the what do you call the rents?
The rents, anyway, the regulations, the $15 an hour minimum wage, and all this other crap.
Yeah, that's another thing she focused on. You know, we have to give everybody a fair wage. What is a fair wage? What?
Well, you know, look, if I go and move, at 18 years old, and I go and I move to someplace in New Jersey, mm-hmm. where I live in the neighborhood. Let's not even say move there, right? I'm 18 years old. I just got out of school in June. I did my little gap summer, you know, so now it's fall. I want to go get a job.
Mm-hmm.
I walk in the door. Okay, yeah, you know, I graduated this school. I was a good student. I wasn't a great student, but I wasn't a crappy student. I passed the thing. And I'm going to get a job. Let's just say, for example, cutting fabric in a small business.
Okay. Right.
I'm standing there and I'm cutting the fabric and la da dee and la da da, and I'm making minimum wage.
Uh huh.
Well, now I cut that fabric for 3-4 years. I meet the girl of my dreams. I get married. She gets pregnant. We have a kid. I'm still making minimum wage or whatever the incremental increase is.
Right.
Meantime, my taxes go up.
Right.
Because I'm sorry, I haven't seen anything, with the exception of gasoline, I've never seen anything get any cheaper.
No.
You know, so, you know, now I've got this, and I say, hey, wait a minute, why aren't I making $15 an hour?
Right.
You know, well, because you remember the other day when Sally fell down? Yeah, and we had to call the ambulance? Yeah, he wasn't making $15 an hour. Why the hell are you going to make $15 an hour?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Now, however, if I'm standing there and I'm cutting up the material and I go to night school and I learn about textile technology.
Right.
And I not only cut the material, but I design the material or I design the ink or I design the screens or I design the machine that pins the now I'm not making minimum wage anymore.
Right.
But that's life, liberty, and the pursuit. Of
That's
happiness.
Right. Pursuit of happiness. Not happiness life, is not guaranteed by the Constitution.
Not life, liberty, and happiness. Not life, liberty, and happiness. And, by the way, never to be offended.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, I feel so... I feel so disgusted when I see... Did you see, by the way, I posted a graphic yesterday. It was a graphic of out in front at Hofstra University yesterday. They had one of those sandwich board signs. And it said trigger warning.
What?
They had a trigger warning.
What does that mean?
A trigger warning is a warning to people who may be offended by something that's going to be said or heard.
No, no, no. Really?
Yes.
So people can what? Run to their safe space? Or put their hands on their ears and go blah 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 blah. I can't hear you.
Well, on the bottom of this safe of this trigger warning thing, there's resources what you can do, you know, to avoid being triggered.
No, come on.
And well, yeah, but that's it. Now I want to know if an 18, 19, 20 year old, because, you know, I didn't go to college until I was 23, so I don't know how old college kids are anymore. I don't know.
They're supposed to be like 18 to 21.
I saw a kid on the news feed the other day going to Harvard, and she's 14 or something. So I don't know. But
well, no, that's just genius level. That's why.
Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah.
These kids have these resources available for safe spaces where they, when they get triggered because words hurt. And let's just say it's, you know, little Joey is, I don't know, 19 years old, 20 years old, right?
Okay. Okay.
Well, what about little Joey's cousin, Johnny, whose safe space is a foxhole? And little Johnny goes around with his Che Guevara shirt on and his man bun being triggered at 19 or 20 years old, and little Joey is over there scrambling for a foxhole because they got incoming fire.
Yeah, I know. I know.
You know, it galls me.
We have a nation of wusses, of people who have these imagined fears. I can't believe this. You know, where they get so upset at one college when somebody put Trump in chalk on a staircase outside. Yeah. And it's like, and they're going nuts. And these people are calling and they're like crying. And it's like, what? You're kidding, right? Get over it, people.
I saw an encounter on YouTube. And it's called something like Social Justice Warrior Channel or something.
Oh, God.
And this girl is hollering at this guy for being racist, sexist, misogynist, this, that, and the other thing. Right? And you could tell she's got the pink hair, the nose ring, the first world problem glasses, the hairy armpits, the hairy legs, you know, the lip rings, all that kind of stuff, right? And this guy is standing there talking to her and refuting what she's saying. And she got so triggered, she actually, right in the street or sidewalk or whatever it was, actually lays down and curls up in a fetal position.
Oh my God, you're kidding. No, is that on, man, you got to send me that link.
I'll see if I can find it, because it's a whole channel. I got to see which one it was.
Oh, okay, all right.
They put like a dozen things on there.
But you see how, you see the bunch of cowards that we have in this country? Well, the thing is that they can't deal with reality. They have to get their own little world. And if you do something that interferes with their little world, they can't handle it. Now, you know, everybody retreats from the world and life, and they're supposed to do it in their own home, you know, and I do it. Actually, I do it. And a way I kind of, you know, do that is by listening to old time radio shows. I love that.
Oh, I love
it. I do that. Yes. You know, and kind of, you know.
Debbie
doesn't
does
like them? Oh, okay.
No, she does it too.
Yeah. Oh, okay. No, but, you know, that's the way I deal with it. You know, and then after a while you go, okay, you know, no, I can go out in the world and deal with all the crap that's going to get thrown at me. But these kids don't know how to deal with things that they either don't agree with or they're afraid of, or
Well, my safe space is I come in here and play solitaire with Jim Beam.
There you go.
That's my safe space.
I mean,
I think what they should do is they should take that sandwich board sign, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when these kids graduate, I don't know when they graduate. Every school is different. You know, as a matter of fact, my brother was telling me one of the colleges down there, it's next week or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they should put that sandwich board, as soon as they walk off stage and go off to whichever direction they go, they should put that sandwich board sign up there and say, no trigger warnings beyond this point.
Yeah. You know, I think that as time goes on, I think the suicide rate is going to rocket in this country, because I think a lot of those kids, when they get out of colleges and stuff and they go into the real world, they are going to be so bombarded with things that I don't think they're going to be able to handle it. And I think a lot of them are going to commit suicide. I do. I honestly do. I don't see. Well, I don't do not see them changing. No, I do not see them changing. I see a great. Now, don't get me wrong. Of that generation too, there are a lot of students that have their head on straight and that look at these people as if they're, well, insane. Because I have to think some of them have a little problem with their sanity. But I think that this part of that generation is defective.
Hey,
and culturally, they are defective.
Well, you know, we've got soldiers and sailors and Marines out there at their age, and we've got other people in other schools and other places that are their age. And you're right; they all, a lot of them, these people are the minority. You don't know it because they make so doggone much noise.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, squeaky wheel thing, and it's almost as if it's some sort of a you know, everybody gets into something. Some people become goths, or I guess they call them emos now.
What some the people heck? Become, what is what? An emo?
They're emotional, I think is what it means. I think it means they're emotional. Or
wait a minute, they changed it. They changed it from goth to emo?
I think that's...
I don't know. I always had still, goth. Goth is,
I think there are still goths
dark.
Out there, but there's the ones that aren't quite...
as dark.
You know, vampira, you know. Looking,
yeah.
And they just still wear the guy liner, and the girls wear the heavy black eyeliner and the black lipstick and the black hair, and those are called emos because they don't put on the Victorian party dress kind of a thing. And some people become hardcore acid rockers, you know, metalheads, and some people get into cars. You know, surfers. I mean, there's ways of doing things, and I think this is just one of the things that this is what they do. First of all, they come of a generation that every kid gets a trophy.
Mm-hmm.
All right? You're a special snowflake.
There you
go. As a matter of fact, that's what they're being called, the special snowflake generation.
That's true.
You're a special snowflake. Always remember, you're unique, just like everybody else.
Yep.
You know, and they get told all this stuff. And then they go to college, and they've got all these left-wing, Alinskyite, Marxist, you know, Trotskyite, Bolshevik weenies for instructors, and this is what you get.
Yeah, I know. And this is what Hillary.
This is what they get.
This is what Hillary is encouraging too.
Not only encouraging, but wants it to be free.
Exactly. Yeah. I got to change the subject just a touch. There were two talking points that she made last night, actually, and that really got to me. Well, two phrases that she used. The first one was gun epidemic.
Wait, hold on.
Seriously?
I got one thing to say about that. You want to talk epidemiology, right?
Okay.
The current sitting president
demanded
that the Centers for Disease Control do research on this quote-unquote gun epidemic, and it, figuratively anyway, blew up in his face because the numbers turned around 180 degrees from what he was hoping they'd be. And they were so far off, they couldn't even say, well, you know, can we kind of pad this a little bit? No, it was off by a mile. Gun epidemic.
So it's like, what do you mean a gun epidemic? Yeah. And the second one that she said, when they were talking about race, she said that the nation, many people in the nation, are implicitly biased.
Yes.
What the hell is that?
Systemic racism.
Oh my God!
You know what that is?
She's standing there.
Exactly what that is.
What is it? Basically, blacks hate whites. I mean, whites hate
it's
blacks.
Both. It's identity politics, 101.
Identity politics, yeah. So we're all implicit. And she's sitting there lecturing, you know? Well, you know, people in America, we're all like, I'm like, what implicitly and biased? What in God's name is wrong with you, woman?
It's identity politics, victimization of everybody.
That's right.
You know, and if nothing else.
Yes.
In my pigeon brain, All right, look, I'm no, you know, super-de-duper genius-level 14-year-old going to Harvard kind of guy.
Super-de-duper? Okay.
Who is the racist at that point?
Exactly.
The one saying, oh, you're a victim because you're black? You're a victim because you're Latino? You're a victim because you're an immigrant? You're a victim because of this? Who is the racist? Mm-hmm. You're not good. You're not smart enough to make it on your own, so we have
That's right.
give you this so you can make it? Mm-hmm. Who's the racist here?
My gosh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
You know, everybody says, oh, you know, the Republican Party, oh, they want to divide and conquer, We haven't
divided
anyone.
The Democrats are doing that. Democratic Party's doing that. What are you kidding? That's the modus operandi. That's what they have. That's the only way that they can get votes. That's the only way that they can stay in power, is to divide and conquer and to make everybody feel like a victim.
Yeah,
and,
you go down
and make
to the African-American community.
And make them dependent.
Yes, here's you go down to the black church or the black community or the black town hall and you tell them what they want to hear. Then you go over to the Latino one and you tell them what they want to hear. And you go over to the Muslim one and you tell them what they want to hear. And that way, you know, the biggest thing I have is, you know, my mom told me a long, long time ago,
what?
Never lie, always tell the truth. Because you don't have to remember who you told what.
That's true. Actually, my mother used to say something to me like that. Yeah.
So how do they remember what they told anybody?
Oh, they have a big list of lies. You know, they take it from a playbook. I'm not kidding on that one. You know, they know exactly what to say to who, just to make everybody feel special and just to ensure their votes. And then they, as you said, you know, they go to them in another 4 years. But I think a lot of groups right now, not the whole group, but there are people that are saying, wait a minute, this is not working out for us. This hasn't worked out for me. This hasn't worked out for maybe somebody else I know, you know, in the black community. And I really think that Donald Trump is making great strides and saying, you know, we got to do this together. You know, I'm not going to treat. And the thing is, basically he's saying to them, I'm not going to treat you like a victim. I'm going to treat you like, you know, an integral part of this country. And that's who they are. They're an integral part of this country.
All men are created equal and endowed with these inalienable rights.
And if you look. And if I ever get down to D.C. again, I do want to visit the African-American Museum because, yes, the blacks that were brought here under horrific circumstances did make a substantial contribution to the development of this country.
Mm-hmm.
In many ways, even when they were slaves and some of them worked on the plantations, those that became free. You know, and came up north and became educated and, you know, became scientists and teachers and everything. So, you know.
You mean all the Republicans like Frederick Douglass and Harriet Tubman and Rosa Parks and Malcolm X and Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King.
But, you know,
all these Republicans, you mean?
Oh, God. What about people like, oh, my God. Oh, I can't remember his name. It was in the beginning in the front of my brain and it kind of went back. Behind the ears and everything. Peanuts, help me here.
Oh, George Washington Carver.
Thank you. I mean, his experiments and everything. The man was a genius. I mean, and I'm wondering today, how many black youths know about him? Is he taught? And what about the first black person that was killed in our revolution? Up here in Massachusetts.
Yep.
So, you know, they have been making contributions to the development of this country. I mean, all along, ever since they came here. And yes, I think we should have an African-American museum. Actually, I think, though, we should have an Italian-American museum.
I think we do.
Where is it?
It's either in Brooklyn or it's in Queens. No, it might be Staten Island. No, we do. We have one.
I want it down in D.C., honey.
Oh, well, there's also an Irish one.
There you go.
They have a big Irish, it's a monument to the Irish. I don't remember where it is. It's like near where one of the ports, whether, you know, Boston or whether New York or something.
It would probably have to be
Irish immigrants that came over from the potato famine. Mm-hmm. Look, we all did.
Right.
We
no,
all
I
did.
Know.
The
no,
only
I know.
The only problem I have with any of it is when the president gets up and says, oh, and Islam has been intertwined with our history, you know, since we had a history.
That's a bunch of baloney.
No, it's not. It's not a bunch of baloney. I'll tell you why.
What do you mean?
They've been our enemy ever since 1800.
Oh, yeah, no, seriously, you know, you're right on that. But he seems to think that, no, he has said that, you know, they've been intertwined with our history and, you know, they've made a great contribution to the founding of this country and they did not.
No.
Because let me tell you something, Lou. Don't forget, you and I live in New England. Show me one old mosque from the 1700s.
Nope.
Exactly. There are none. Give
there
me a
none.
Break. There
I'm
are
from
none.
Newark, New Jersey. There was no mosques when I left. they
no, but you figured New England.
In the 80s, you know.
You figured New England.
There's no old mosques in New Jersey. There's no old mosques in Philadelphia. There's no old mosques in Boston. There's no old mosques up here in Maine or over there in New Hampshire.
He's trying to change American history. And actually, there was this guy, this Muslim, in our local little paper up here, that tried to make it appear that there were Muslims who fought in the American Revolution. So being the research analyst that I am, I looked it up. First, I found this site that basically was put together by Muslims. And it was all propaganda. It was all made up. It was all made up. Because then what I did was I got on university sites. I got on sites that detailed the history of American Revolution. There were no Muslims. There were no Muslims at all that helped out. Okay? However, what I did find out was about a man whose name was Haim Salomon. And Haim Salomon helped out, was a Jew. And he basically helped the Americans out during the end, when we were running out of money.
Yep.
He was from New York.
And people like von Steuben, you know.
Yep.
But he was not Muslim.
No, but the thing is that no Muslims helped out in the American Revolution. But
no,
we had
Lafayette was no Muslim.
No, and the thing is that we had a man who was a Jew who came here. And the thing was is that when they came here, I did some research on him. Originally, his family was in Poland. And so they fled Poland. They went to Portugal. But in Portugal, they were, they came upon a lot of anti-Semitism. So they came to America. And basically, he was asked by people, you know, why are you here? He says, so I can worship and be free and not worry about going to synagogue and, you know.
Right.
And so when it came time, he was so grateful because we were running out of money. And the Continental Army was running out of money, basically. And he went around to all those synagogues and basically saved us because we had nothing. We had nothing. But, I'll be honest. I kind of remember that from my school days, you know, when they were talking about local, you know, people that helped out. But that's not well known. That's not. But anyway, this person that wrote this crap, well, he was very quickly taken to task by tons of people who wrote in and said, "You don't know what you're talking about. Everything that you're writing is a lie. There were never any, you know." And people who were historians and stuff like that, because a lot of people up here are historians.
You think?
Yeah.
You know?
So, but the thing is, it's like, you know, Obama tries to twist everything. Hillary twists things. People are tired of hearing it. And
Donald
the
women
Trump
in your state are DAR for crying out loud.
Yeah, I know. Well, actually, my husband's family too is. But anyway,
here's the thing. When was the first year we had Black History Month?
It was in the 70s, wasn't it?
Was it in the 70s?
It was in the 70s.
It was a long time ago.
It was like 70 or 71, I believe,
it wasn't the first year, but it was, you know, but anyway, because I was busy in those days.
You were busy,
whenever,
I think. Yeah.
Whenever it was, I had gone to a party, and there was this black fellow there, and it was Black History Month, and he was, you know, here's a question for you. What's that? Name the black person on Columbus's voyage. And I said, name who wasn't besides Columbus. What do you mean? Because everybody's looking for, there's the navigator. I don't remember Nina Pinta or Santa Maria. I mean, that's, those facts escape me now, but I knew them at the time. Everybody's mm-hmm. looking for that one navigator, you mm-hmm. know, who was on one of the ships. Right? Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. Who crewed his ships? Who were the crews on his ships? Ferdinand and Isabella, what'd they do? They emptied out the prisons. Who was in the prisons? The Moors. So name the ones that weren't black. His whole crew on three ships was all Moors.
So what did he say to that?
He was like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, I don't, huh?
I'm sorry. Said,
do we have an encyclopedia in this house? Let's look up Columbus's voyage and see what it says. You know, oh, you're so sure of yourself. I said, well, you know something? You know, because in those days we didn't have phones with Google on them.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I wish we did because I'd have brought it right up. You go home and check it out. Next time I see you, we'll talk. You know, and of course, I never saw him again.
Of course, yeah.
But the thing is, I mean, and just for what it's worth nowadays, speaking of phones with Google on them, I know you probably know this, but if you go to Google mm-hmm. and you go up to the address bar, not in the search bar, but address bar,
okay,
and where it says google.com,
mm-hmm.
if right behind Google you type Scholar,
yeah.
.com,
yeah,
it takes you to more reference material than you can shake a dog at.
Really?
Medical, law,
really?
Sciences. Oh yeah, Google
I didn't
Scholar.
Know that.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's amazing. An amazing resource.
I had no idea. I'm gonna. Have
oh,
to
Google
take
actually
a look
has
at that.
Many branches.
I didn't know that. Honestly, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's not just Google and YouTube and Gmail. There's a lot of stuff going on over at Google Corporation. And, of course, now if we can only get them to stop hiring H-1B visa people.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That would be nice. I think maybe we should start wrapping this up. But, you know, I have to say that last night's debate went about the way I thought it was going to go.
Yeah.
With attacks on Trump.
Mm.
Hillary standing there with that stupid smile on her face.
Mm.
Drugged out of her mind.
Mm.
So, I mean, and that's what a lot of people said. Actually, I listened to Howie Carr yesterday, and he said, folks, don't get all upset about this debate. He said, we know how it's going to turn out.
Yep.
You know, and he was right.
That's why I started out saying I was bored, because I knew exactly how it was going to play.
Yeah. Now, the next one is a town hall-style debate in which they mm-hmm. field questions from the audience, and also they get questions from people on social media. So I think that one will be better. I think Donald Trump is more direct, and he's more at ease, especially face-to-face.
Well, that's what they said one of his problems was last night. Is the fact that he answers a question. You ask him a question, he answers it. You know, he
that's
doesn't
true.
Turn around and say,
she
oh,
dances
well, you know,
around it. She dances,
all around it. And or either, even if it's a question that she's waiting for and she answers it, then she turns around and she spins it off and goes into, and here's what, here's something. Donald doesn't do that. You ask him a question. Hey, Donald, what time is it? Well, it's 11:30.
Mm-hmm.
Not, well, it's 11:30. No, you know, it's pretty cloudy out. You know, no,
yeah.
It's 11:30. That's it. You know.
Hillary would look at a person and say, what time do you want it to be?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Are there any times of day that would trigger you and make you run for your safe space?
Boy, we're getting ridiculous.
Are there any times of the day that aren't racist, you know, or something, you know, kind of a thing? That's the problem. And Donald just answers a question he's very direct and he's very clear, concise, and to the point.
Yeah, we'll see what happens at the next debate.
Oh, let me hit the tax thing real quick.
Oh, sure.
He said he'd release his taxes
if
she released the 33,000 email. And they both, and what's his name, jumped on him, and Hillary jumped on him. Oh, there's no reason. The IRS has said you can release them. And he said, on the advice of my attorney,
mm-hmm.
I haven't released them. Not a question of whether the IRS says I can or can't. My attorney says not to. I listen to my attorney.
Yeah, but why should I listen to the IRS?
But he turned around and said, but I will forego that. I will go against my attorney's advice and release them this fast if you release those 33,000 emails.
We know that's not going to happen.
Exactly. So it's, you know, he said, what are my odds on that? You know.
Yeah, exactly. So you're not getting the tax return, honey. Because I know darn well in those 33,000 emails, it's not all going to be about her yoga classes and seriously, can you see Hillary doing the upside down dog? That's when the mom yoga pose. I mean,
because I can imagine her.
I'm not talking about the Kama Sutra. You know.
No, I'm talking about that.
You mean on about whatever the heck it is, the dog upside. I don't know. I think it's called the upside down dog. I don't know. But anyway, I mean, seriously, with her butt up in the air, I don't think so, homie.
No, I
think the yoga crap is yoga crap, and you don't, and not even. I don't know.
I love my granddaughter. I love my granddaughter to death. I do. I love her to death. And I, you
how
know,
do we
something.
Get on that?
I don't do yoga, but I do a lot. You know what I can with fibromyalgia and stuff. But, you know, I bet you I sent out. You know, I don't think I've sent out 33,000 emails in my life.
No, neither have I. I know I haven't.
Another 14,000-15,000 that they found.
I
50,000. Yeah. I haven't sent out 50,000 emails in my life.
No. So, you know, it's a bunch of baloney. And Donald Trump, and I want him to stick to his guns. Don't release the tax returns.
She said, oh, it's because you didn't pay any federal income tax. You know, what does that say? And he said, that says I'm smart.
I know.
You balance your book. Look, I'm sorry. And there are people who are going to, you know, hear this and they're going to go nuts over that. Let me tell you something. I found this out from an employer years ago. I was like 16 years old. Everybody gets crazy nuts cuckoo for a tax return. Right? Okay. Nobody wants to have to pay tax, right?
Right, yeah.
If you do it right, you keep your money. You don't owe them. They don't owe you.
That's right. Yeah.
And you take the extra money and you put it in the bank because the IRS does not pay interest.
That's right. Yep.
If you want to save money and say, oh, look, at the end of the year, I'll get this big check, put it in the bank. Get a Christmas
club. Put it in the bank now.
Do they still have Christmas clubs?
I don't know.
I used to put $5.
I think the way it goes now is that I know in many banks, my bank and also in my credit, with my two credit unions, you designate an account. You know, either for Christmas or travel or whatever like that. You can get as many accounts as you want. So
okay.
I can, and it has a certain, you know, percentage
fixed
amount.
Fixed rate or something, yeah.
Yeah. The taxes, yeah, exactly. That's the whole idea because what happens is when you get money back from the IRS, you have basically given them an interest-free loan.
Yep, exactly.
You know, exactly. For that year. So,
I got 1 year. My best year was, I did have to pay
$11. Wow. That's
that
nice.
That was my best year. I made a lot of money that year, too.
Let me tell you something. When I was working at the agency, I also had a part-time job, okay, at night at one of the local malls and in one of the local department stores. And unfortunately for me, I made a lot of money. Even though it was not a lot of money, that's why I needed the second job, because the prices, the cost of living down in Maryland was horrific.
Yeah.
But I had to pay 1 year $1,200.
Jeez.
I nearly died. So I was like, oh, my God. So I went to a friend of mine and said, help me out here with my taxes, please, next time.
Yeah.
So he increased my deductibles and stuff like that. But... yeah, don't release them at all.
I think the best return I ever got was something like $200.
You know, I just, you know, so yeah, he didn't have to pay taxes. I mean, seriously, does she really have? She paid taxes, sure, okay, but again, where the hell did she get the money in the first place? Why does college spend $250,000 for her to give a speech?
And hey, you know what? You want to talk about the gender gap? Bill gets $350,000.
You know, the thing is
that she
even said last night when she was talking about the gender gap and guaranteeing that women would get the same, would get the same amount of pay. And then she said something about whether or not they do the same work as men. I'm like, excuse me, all to hell? Me? You shouldn't get paid the same amount as a man or as the job requires unless you're doing the same amount of work. I'm sorry.
I'll tell you what Donald Trump. I'll tell you what Donald Trump should have said to her right at that moment. Here's another. Here's another backhand he missed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he could have turned to her and said, "I'm a businessman. Yeah, if women are cheaper, why do I have men working for me?
Yeah.
Why don't I just hire exclusively women if they're cheaper?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I this whole thing is just going to go on and on and on. And I just hope to God he wins in November. We have two more debates. We have a lot more personal appearances. And I don't know when she's going to be out on the campaign trail again. By the way, did you see, and she was in New York, did you see that video that a reporter from ABC News caught? She was kind of like, sort of like trying to follow her, and she managed to catch up with her. And she was coming out of this building in New York. I don't know where exactly she was, but she came out and there were stairs and she was gingerly going down the steps.
No, I didn't see that. Nope.
Yeah, and then she said, Mrs. Clinton, you know, and she's recording it. She goes, oh, and then all of a sudden her demeanor just changes. Oh, and she kind of tries to straightens up and stuff. And, oh, hello, how are you? And she goes, oh, you know, how are you doing? Oh, great, great, getting ready for tonight, you know, getting ready. And then she gets into the van, and you look, and she's just, you know, they're trying to shield her, but you can
see
the hesitation. And it's like, oh, God, lady, there's something wrong with you. I mean, did you notice, too? I watched them as they both came out on stage, and he strode on stage, and she waddled. She waddled on stage. I don't want my president to waddle.
No, I
I'm
don't.
Sorry. I don't want my president to waddle.
Oh, my goodness. No, I don't want.
So, do you have a funny story that we can close the show with?
Oh, I usually
Or an anecdote. Or something that we can leave everybody with. A little bit of hope. A little bit of humor to brighten up their day.
You want a little bit of humor to brighten up your day?
Sure, why not?
So this nun is taking a bath. And there's a knock on the door. And she says, oh, my God, what do I do, what do I do? And who is it? And the guy says, blind man. Oh, blind man. Okay, fine. So she goes and opens the door. And the blind man says, nice butt. Where do you want the blinds?
Excellent. With that, folks, guess what? We're going to wrap this edition of Political QRM up. And listen next time.
Oh, my goodness. Listen, comment as you see fit. Have a nice whatever you want to have. Or who the heck am I to tell you what kind of day to have?
That's true. Yes.
I don't know. You go out and have whatever kind of day you see fit. How's that?
I like it.
I like it, too. And on that note, the only thing left to say, may God bless the United States of America.
Samson, speak. Good boy.